Jem Wally, the IMC podcast with Idil Samatar and Leo Dietrich.
And let's not forget Moza Kresna and Lian Ferhacher, who consistently work with us to make this happen.
Episode 2, Fulani artists in Europe, social media.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to us again. This is Idil and Leo speaking about Fulani in Europe, Fulani artists in Europe, and it's the second episode of our podcast. In this episode, we'd like to talk about social media and organizations of Fulani in Europe as well. Idil, would you like to say something about the song we've just heard?
Yes, it's called Wulangu Jama by Yero, the person we interviewed and we talked a lot about in the last episode. This song is a homage to the journalist Abdoulaye Sira from Mauritania, and he sings in Fulani in this song. And he wears the traditional Saharan headscarf that they wear. It's in black and white. It's a quite interesting political song, very typical Tierra style, which is perfect segue into the YouTube analysis that I did.
Okay, perfect. We're gonna talk about that, but let's first mentioning our research question once again. So, do Fulani artists in Europe express a sense of common identity? If so, what do they use for expressing their belonging, social media, organizations, language, etc.? This is what we'd like to talk about. Idil.
Yeah. So, when I did my YouTube analysis, this is the question I had in mind. I mostly focused on Yero, of course, and I linked it with like parts of his interviews when it came to languages, etc. And Yero tends to rap in both French and Fulani. Sometimes he mixes it in the same song, which is quite interesting. When looking at YouTube, I look to visuals, comment section, and hashtags that they may use. Yero is actually the only artist I found of the people that I looked into that uses hashtags. And he would use hashtags such as Mauritanie, Pearl, and Noir. As we talked about this blackness aspect earlier, he also uses Pearl a lot and Pular.
Using hashtags on YouTube.
Hashtags on YouTube, in the description box.
Maybe I'm just wrong for
which
this.
Is, in the description box, you might also write what the song is about. So if you go on Yero's YouTube, you can see what the song is about. Perhaps he writes it in English, in French. I think even I saw German.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It was either him or one other.
I have to look it up. Maybe it was Norwegian.
maybe it was Norwegian. A song that interested me a lot was the Kiwal song by Yero.
Okay, Kiwal,
Yes, in this song, he uses the hat that we talked about in the last episode. The, what's it called?
Hula.
The hula hat. And also there's a lot of other people in the video who wear different types of traditional clothing. And not necessarily all of them are just Fulani clothing, but there's specifically one girl who does wear Fulani clothing in that song. I do not, I tried to find out what Kiwal means. I did not identify the meaning, but in that video, he has hashtags Pular. He has hashtag Mauritanie in the in description box. And I found it really interesting that this comment section was with a lot of commenters who stated where they're from, that they're proud of being Fulani, they're proud of him as a Fulani representative.
They stated it in what language?
In French.
Okay.
In French and in Fulani.
Okay.
In Pular, I couldn't understand the Pular ones. But I could understand the...
That it is Fular.
They could be like, oh, je suis Pular. And then like they'll just say the rest in... the half of the other is just in...
I see.
Exactly. And in this song, he just sang in... Pearl, like Pular, only in his native tongue compared to his all other songs.
And I think in rapping, this is a phenomenon that we do not find that often.
Because in other songs, he tends to rap in more French when he talks about blackness. And that's because he wants to reach other people as well.
So I think that's about his target audience?
Yeah, for sure. And we did ask him about his target audience in the interview.
Let's listen to that now.
Oh, it depends on
the song.
Song.
It depends on the song and the fixed objective. For example, in one of my songs, I wanted to speak French, because many people in Africa were not aware about what is happening in my country. So if I write the message in French, it allows me to reach people in Mali, Burkina, Senegal, Morocco, and France. But there, some people came and said, hey, you rap in French, I've heard you. Can you rap in Pula? It depends on the target audience and the sense.
So after hearing what Yero said, he said that the choice of language was due to the target audience.
Yeah.
If he raps in French about blackness, it'll reach more people who are not necessarily just Fulani. They could be Wolof, Soninke, whatever other ethnic groups there are in West Africa.
Yeah. Malinke, so many. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is a very interesting point. Language will come up more. I found an interview on YouTube with Baba Mal where he states that Fulani is a language that links people together. He saw it as a language of unity. And he said that he uses it to connect with people throughout West Africa.
The legendary Fulani singer, Baba Mal.
The legendary Fulani singer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I also, when looking into Baba Mal, his comment section is full of also people expressing their identities.
They're proud of being Fulani.
Proud of them as Fulani artists.
Yeah, yeah.
And proud of them for using the language, you know, to still spreading it. Baba Mal and Yero both speak other languages. They could have chosen to sing in Wolof or French, but they have chosen to sing in their native tongue.
Yeah. It's a conscious decision
for both of them.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to see that through and through. And on YouTube also, I found like Baba Mal's song, like a TikTok compilation.
Okay.
Where people use his song to show different cultural Fulani attires. It was like an hour long video. That means that so many videos on TikToks where people use Baba Mal's song to express their Fulani-ness. They used hashtag Fulani TikTok, hashtag Pearl, hashtag Fulbe, all the different ways to say Fulani.
The one word, yeah.
Exactly.
So this is interesting because I mean, TikTok is like a new generation.
Yeah.
Baba Mal, how old might he be? Like 60 or something?
Yeah.
I don't think that he's really using TikTok, but it means that younger people who are active on TikTok use his songs to make something new out of it.
Exactly.
To express their common Fulani identity. So guys, we were forced to make a short break once again because this is actually the second time that we have to move out of our recording room and had to switch it.
Yeah.
And now, if you hear some background noise, it's just due to the fact that we are running literally out of alternatives.
Yeah, and so, space and room.
And space and room. Yeah, next time we're going to sit outside and you won't understand anything. But let's hope we can finish it now.
Yeah. So I quickly wanted to mention that you can see on the blog post the type of comments that I'm referring to when it comes to like people expressing themselves, saying where they're from, that they're Pearl from Guinea, or how they feel about the artist, etc.
On YouTube.
Yes, on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can find it in the blog post.
Yeah, yeah.
I added some screen grabs that I took and also some screen grabs of the Q1 music video to see the type of songs that I'm talking about, visuals that I'm talking about, I mean, sorry. And also, if you want to learn more about the TikTok aspect, our co-worker Lee wrote an article on the blog post about the TikTok research she did, and she specifically focused on an TikToker called Alhaji Diallo, who is the founder of Fulani with an X from Senegal.
Fulani?
Exactly. And you can read that on the blog post if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. And I do think that two social media that we busied ourselves with are still left. And
yes.
The one is Facebook. And the other one is Twitter.
Exactly.
So we can start with Facebook then.
Yes. Can you tell us about what you found on Facebook?
Yeah, for sure. So when I busied myself with Facebook, I just observed like three different artist pages.
Yeah.
Yero, who has about 34,000 followers on Facebook. He's very active. Mm-hmm. He is as active on Facebook as he is on YouTube. Sometimes he's sharing things in Fulbe, in the Fulani language. But mainly it's about his content. It's not only about his music. He's also making political statements about Fulani identity. So he's really a Fulani activist.
Yeah.
And I think that he would also agree with us on that. Then there's Diamin Teki, a hip-hop duo from Mauritania who is now living in Belgium with about 23,000 followers. They're kind of active on Facebook as well. They have also released songs in Fulfulbe in the past, but mainly in French. And I would say like most of their topics also deal with Mauritanian issues more than Fulani issues, which is interesting because it shows that not every Fulani artist mainly cares about Fulani identity.
Exactly.
And they recently shared a documentary that they probably have produced about the border conflict between Mauritania and Senegal that Yero also mentioned in our interview.
Yeah.
Border conflict 1989 to 91, where a lot of Fulani people, I mean mainly black people, but including Fulani people, were deported from Mauritania to Senegal. So this is an incident. We're talking about several thousand people.
That's
and
horrible.
It's a huge taboo to talking about this in Mauritania. And this incident affects black people in Mauritania, but it also affects Fulani people in general. So this was interesting for me to observe. And
yeah.
Also these commitments that they still caring about that fact, about that those unjust happenings back then. And the last thing I'd like to say about Diamin Teki is that they were awarded by the Fulani Awards, because there is something as Fulani Awards in Africa.
In Europe.
In Africa.
In Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So I do think that those awards and also concerts and conferences that deal with Fulani issues are also crucial for creating a Fulani identity.
I believe so too.
Yeah, because, you know, you can watch those events like Fulani Awards, like a TV show, and people are rooting for their Fulani artists from their home country, for instance. And of course, this I do think that's crucial for common identity. Yeah, the last person I researched on Facebook was Omar Ka. He's not that active on Facebook, actually. He's posting in English, and mostly live videos in which he presents his songs, who are exclusively in
Fulani.
The Fulani in the Fulfulbe language. Yeah, he does not express himself politically, and is not really talking that often about his Fulani identity in general. But I found an interview that he shared on Facebook with Radio Netherlands, where he said like this: his music is actually a mixture of everything. It's not only Fulani music, even though he uses Fulani language. But he said like, my music is African music. That's what I play to make a living.
Okay.
So that was interesting. And besides artist pages, I think that Facebook is especially interesting for its media, because there are some Fulani media. I think one of the most important one is Fulani News Media, based in Gambia, with about 150,000 followers. They're very, very active. It's unmatched in language and scale. And yeah, they're mainly dealing with Fulani issues, sometimes also with West African issues in general, but mainly Fulani issues. And they are talking about athletes, politicians, musicians, political issues. They also mentioned Tabitha Pulaku, which is the biggest Fulani organization worldwide. And they only mention it positively, which is also quite interesting for me, to be honest. Yeah, then there are some other Facebook pages of media and Fulani organizations. I was surprised to find out that Tabitha Pulaku, the biggest, really by far biggest organization of Fulani worldwide, does not really have a Facebook page.
Oh, so you can't find them on Facebook?
No, because, you know, they have some regional how to say, regional
offices?
Offices? Offices. You know, I won't say franchises, but
departments.
Departments, yeah. And sometimes you find the regional departments on Facebook, but there is not this one Tabitel Pulaku official page worldwide, which is interesting. And these regional pages are not even that active, which means that Tabitha Pulaku does not play such a big role on Facebook, actually. Then there was a medium on Facebook with 13,000 followers, Fulbe Africa, an English language media also based in Gambia. They mainly talk about political or cultural conferences and the organization of an annual Fulani festival, which is called the International Fulbe Cultural Festival, also organized by Fulbe Africa, by that organization. From which musicians of different countries are invited. And I do think that these concerts are probably very important for creating a common identity, because you got artists from Africa, from Europe, being together on stage, mostly in an African country, and performing. And the only thing that they have in common is their Fulani identity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then there's something else left, which is the Facebook groups, actually. Because, I mean, unlike YouTube or Twitter or TikTok, there are groups on Facebook, as we all know. And there are so many Fulani-related groups. Let me just mention a few. There's Tabitel Pulaku, which is not about the organization Tabitel Pulaku. It's just Tabitel Pulaku means, you know, we already know what Pulaku means.
Yeah.
I couldn't really find out what Tabitha means, but it's just like Tabitha Pulaku doesn't really have to be linked to the organization. But there's this group on Facebook, which has 1.7 million members, which is not really controlled. There is no admin. It's, you know, this group is mainly about people posting selfies and saying like, hey, I'm Fulani, stuff like that. And there are other groups like Fulbe Mali with 250,000 followers or members. They got a similar structure, similar content, also selfies mainly, without political content. It's just like, hey, I'm here, I'm Fulani. Then people might comment like, oh, girl, you're beautiful, stuff like that. That's actually what these groups are about. There are also some more specific Fulani groups. So, for instance, the group Fulbe Diaspora, which has about 10,000 members. It's not controlled by any admin, but it focuses on music.
Yeah.
So, for instance, some songs of Yero and Diamintaki were shared in that group as well.
Okay.
Which means that European artists, European Fulani artists, to sum that up, can be supported by Fulani people worldwide in those groups.
Exactly.
And also by Fulani media.
Yeah.
That's actually the core of what I found out, which is about, like, they make this music here, but on Facebook, especially on Facebook, they are supported by Fulani worldwide in Facebook groups, on Fulani media, stuff like that. And that's it actually for Facebook.
You know what I found interesting?
Yeah, go ahead.
I found the group that you said where they just post pictures to say, hi, I'm Fulani, is kind of the same that's happening on YouTube comment section, where people just want to say where they're from and that they're Fulani. Like, it's maybe to share their identity with people who have the same identity. And I think it's very interesting, even though it's just very basic, a photo or a comment, it's to express who they are, and they want to connect with people who are like them.
May I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Because you are a Norwegian, but of Somali background.
Yeah.
So have you made some similar experiences with Somali diaspora?
Yeah, for sure. We also, on TikTok, use hashtag Somali TikTok. We have our own media. We have an organization in Norway called Nur Sombru, which is like Nur Som, North Somali.
Okay.
And it is for Somali youths to connect across Scandinavia. And we visit each other. When I was a teenager, that was very popular. So we have the same things.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is different with us is that we have countries. So we have Somalia, we have Somaliland, we have Djibouti.
Yeah.
That are Somali nations.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different with that, because we also like have a flag identity as well, a national identity. Yeah. which does create problems between us. Yeah, so it is the same. We do that.
But you also got a big diaspora.
We have a very big diaspora. Yeah.
Okay, I think before we continue with Twitter and our Mozart interview, who is our Twitter expert, we can listen to some more music, which is in this case the song of Umu Sangare Mai Yetima.
Yes. I don't know if the song is, if it is in Fulani. It is a song that it has a lot of Fulanis commenting under. Umu is Fulani, of Fulani descent, but she speaks Malinke, as she's from southern Mali.
Mm-hmm.
But she's very proud of her Fulani identity, and she's from the Griot caste.
It's like the musician
Griot group. Yeah. Like her mom was Griot, her grandmother, all of them.
Yeah.
Which is why it led to this. To her becoming.
It's interesting because it shows that even though Fulani are very proud of their identity, they're very much linked to other people and to other ethnic affiliations.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not always that clear if somebody's a Fulani or not.
Exactly. I didn't even know she was Fulani until...
Until you found out.
I've listened to her for a while and I didn't know.
So now we'd like to talk about Twitter, and we got an expert here. Mozart, you have busied yourself in our group with Twitter as a social media. So can you maybe tell us a bit about your methodology?
Oh, yeah. We are using, in this project, our team developed an API, automatic programming interface. So we can get data that we want.
What's the purpose of using an API?
So we can get as many as data that we can get. Like it is big data.
Okay.
So maybe the human manual you can do this, but there is a limitation if we must perform with 100,000, even million
of
words.
Okay, I see. So it's about the amount of data.
About the amount of data.
Okay, and that's what we did. Like, that's what you did, actually.
Yeah.
So you said we used API on Twitter, and what was the result?
And the result, this API, we also modify, we are using the geolocation.
Mm-hmm.
So we only, because we are focusing on the European, Fulani on European. So I'm trying using on the opposite way, by we would like to know who become a Fulani artist from the perspective of European Twitter user.
Okay.
So we only get the data from the European Twitter user, and then up to 300,000 tweets from 2016 to 2022 about the Fulani, but 30% of it is dominated with more negative tones, like Boko Haram, terrorists, jihadis, and because,
So this is about the perception of Fulani people in general, and this is probably a very important insight because it shows us that, especially within Africa, Fulani are nowadays... by other peoples considered as terrorists, which is in a case also funny because Boko Haram is not Fulani but Kanuri anyway. But means like people relate Fulani to specific negative things.
Negative thing, yeah. But this is the data that we can get from the European Twitter user as perspective. It is dominated their discussion, their public discussion in Twitter with Fulani is more about the negative, about the terrorists and Boko Haram. And what we do in this project by looking another aspect about Fulani is actually a counter-narrative about the Fulani, but we are to explore about the artists in Fulani.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found from the Twitter, the Fulani artist is like maybe there is a specification from the form of the social media itself, like Twitter. It has a limited time. Yeah, it is for the upload video. An artist maybe just has 30 seconds to up to 1 minute. So mostly artists in Twitter is more dominated with the painter, and also poetry, and that's kind of artist that mostly widely known as a Fulani artist from the European Twitter user is related with the poem, poetry related with the drawing. So,
so it's less about music.
Less about music.
Okay,
yeah.
I see. So that's it from your side.
Yeah, you
perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Muzar, so much for talking about your Twitter research. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you found some interesting findings.
You did such a great
job. Yeah, such as the negative views towards Fulanis on Twitter, which is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
They are a marginalized group in West Africa. So it was very interesting to hear that. And before we talk about the research question again and our conclusion, let's listen to one more song. This song is called Bertua E. It's from Youssoufa Lule, as you said. It's a Cameroonian song. And the reason we chose this and all of the songs actually is to show how all of the artists are from different countries, but they are Fulani.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that, just to have like a little bit transnational music to represent not only like Mauritanian or Malian artists, but to represent more diversity.
Yeah, and yeah. We've already talked about the geographical distribution of Fulani people in the first episode of our podcast. So now you see that music is also diverse.
Exactly.
Okay, Idil, let's talk about our research question. I think the people have it still in mind.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what could be a possible answer to our research question if we think of a common sense of Fulani people?
Yeah.
Identity.
I feel it's number one language.
Okay. Yeah.
Language as something that unifies them because they live in different regions, yet they have kept their language strong and well, and they still communicate with each other as that. And as well on YouTube and your Facebook findings of people stating that they are Fulani, like they still identify as such, regardless of which nationality they have. As well as cultural aspects such as clothes, music, or most importantly, Islam.
Yeah.
I feel like,
yeah.
As you mentioned, Islam is a very important identifier for Fulani people.
But I do think more within Africa than outside Africa. Because if you think about the Fulani diaspora, and they are in contact with Moroccans, Algerians, Arabs, you know, those people are also Muslims.
It's true.
So that's not really distinctive.
Yeah.
But inside Africa, like Fulani people are very proud of their piety, also in history.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about Islam in Europe, because you can say like 99% of the Fulani people are religious, but that's the case for are Muslims, but that's the case for many people in Europe.
Exactly.
So interesting for sure. We should mention, that's why we should mention Islam here.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I, after hearing your part as well with the organizations that they have, organization based on their ethnicity being Fulani,
Tabu Tabulaku,
or Facebook group based on Fulani-ness, concerts based on Fulani-ness, Facebook groups, all of this different things that unite them, and brings them together despite their nationality, despite where they live. As you said, Hieros and Diamantakis, music was shared on these platforms and on their comments on YouTube. It is people from different nationality.
Yeah.
So they have a sense of unity by having these media platforms to express them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But as we have already also found out, is that nationality still plays a role.
Yeah.
Because each Fulani community within a specific country has to deal with different things. Sometimes they are marginalized. Quite often they are marginalized. Not everywhere. In Nigeria, I wouldn't say so. But in Mauritania, they are.
Yeah.
In Senegal, they might be. In Mali, they are for sure. So I do think that each community has different problems to deal with.
Exactly.
Even though they are Fulani.
So they have a sense of common identity, but they have also individual problems based on where they're located.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And what groups they're in contact with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I found also very interesting was that politics in itself, like mentioning politics actively, does not necessarily have to be the case when you talk about Fulani identity. It can only be about the language. It can be about music. It can be about cultural things. Mm-hmm. It can be about Pulaku. This does not necessarily have to do with politics at all.
No.
It can be.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Using music, as many of the artists we listen to now, the songs are not necessarily political.
Yeah.
But it is the language that they use that is Fulani.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just the use of Fulani. When they speak other languages, all of them speak different languages, but they choose to sing in Fulani.
Yeah.
And I believe that's a choice to express their identity.
Absolutely, yeah.
And to connect with people whom they share the same identity with.
Yeah. And what I think is of crucial importance are the findings of Mozart when he said, like, Fulani people are considered by many people negatively due to terrorism, not necessarily committed by Fulani people, but just by conflicts that they are involved. And I do think, we haven't discussed that in this podcast, but I do think that pressure from the outside also makes you, being closer together, you know, because you're attacked from the outside. So you say, like, okay, we are Fulani identity. Let's just stay together because there are all the attacks from the outside.
Exactly. Identifying or being more proud of it because it's being attacked.
Yeah.
It's under pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So Adil, I think that's it, huh?
Yes. It was a nice podcast. I learned a lot of new things doing this research. I had never previously been in contact with Fulani people or researched Fulani musicians or anything. So I've learned a lot of new things. I'm very happy about it.
Me too.
Can be 3 or 4 episodes in.
Okay, Mozart just said we can make 3 or 4 episodes. Let's talk about that in the future, but not for 2.5 ECTS. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, guys, take care. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Dear listeners, now you can stop listening because now it's just the outro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.